So this is our seventh meeting, and we're embarking on only the second Sa'if in Hilchos Tarutz. Okay, now, there's no need to be discouraged, because we've actually, if you think about it, covered a wealth of introductory material that is going to stand us well, I believe, through the remainder of Taruvos and Basar B'Chalav. In addition, really, to much about the methodology of studying Halacha and Issur V'Heter in general. So the fundamental distinction that we have seen thus far, the Yisod that drives everything that follows in Sif Beis, is that Atzmus HaYisur, the Mamashus of Issur, is distinguished from its flavor. The mamasho is distinguished from the tamo in that it only requires a rove mina Torah to negate the disqualifying effects of its presence in a mixture. Now, this is significantly less than is needed to negate the disqualifying effects of the flavor in the Tarovas.
I mean, you only need a rove for the top, you need a lot more for the actual mamashah.
You need a rove for the mamashas, but you need much more. You need bitul tam.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. And that actually...
It's pretty ironic, isn't it?
Because the rabbis figured out that it's, I'm going to, at the end, speak about what I think is the cognitive basis of Issur V'Heter.
Because it is very counterintuitive, but the actual chatzah, piece itself, can be a lot less than just, the taste it's giving off.
Right.
Which is very, it's counterintuitive, no?
Yeah, well, I mean, you would think that the flavor is, is less significant than the mamoshes, right? You would think so, yeah. I can see why you might think so. Okay? Now, since the Ramah rejected the use of a non-Jewish taster on the basis of, really, custom, at least for Ashkenazim, right, we rely on one of the two Shiurim that we saw derived from the Zroa B'Shela. Namely, Shishim. So there must be 60 times... the volume, by the way, not the weight, the volume of the Iser in the Heter, so that we know that the flavor is likely imperceptible. So you'll remember that in the Sugya of Zroa B'Shela, remember Shneim Lolam Du'elam Mikra Achad, right? You'll remember that we saw the prevailing view of the Rishonim that the Yalfusa of Shishim, or Meya, is just an Asmachta, right? Let's not confuse the source of the amount with the situation that it comes to correct, and this is basic, right? Since we maintain tam ki'ikar, bishar isurim min haTorah, the presence of the flavor of isur is a Torah prohibition, right? Tam ki'ikar is a Torah prohibition. The amount as to when you know there isn't Tam Ikar, may be of rabbinic origin. But the situation that it comes to correct is a Torah Iser. So if we're uncertain whether there's Shishim in a Tarovus Mim Sheinomino, then we're actually uncertain whether there is an Iser Min a Torah. It's a Sveika Dioraisa and therefore Lechumra. Right? The source, the definition, might be shishim, might be of rabbinic, right? But the situation it's coming to correct is Torah. Yes.
So that if you have shishim and then you taste it, meaning assuming that's batal, and then you would taste the flavor, the fact is that the presence of that flavor may be the arrest. Is that now
may still be asura, right? Okay,
so
it's not a formalism. We didn't say anything about it being a formalism. But we'll specifically deal with that case. But for the time being, let's just say that shishim is a marker. Things that are davidi l'taima that are sharp or whatever may have a greater shiur that is required for bitul. But the general rule of tongue, so to speak, right, is shishim. Yes, sir.
I thought we were saying before at some point that it's a bit of a machlok whether or not tongue keepers mean deraita. It sounds like we're saying right now that...
I'm proceeding on the basis that it is deraita.
It's like Tosfo, not like Rashi.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Guys, I just thought maybe I missed something.
No. I'm proceeding on that basis that that's the way we pass it.
Okay. Fine. So we're saying right now that even though that tongue keeper is deraita, the actual shiuri, whether it's shishi, momea, etc.,
could still be asmachta.
So therefore, it's just the Rabbana came up with it.
Yes. It's their definition. It's their marker for whether or not it's present.
And we're going to get into the whole Indian of whether or not something deraita, that we're, the fact that we're machmer, that's deraita and deraita.
We will get into that, but not at this point. But we'll
basically assume right now, of course, it's something deraita, the chumrah, but that itself, though, I mean, it's very no get to the question you left us last time in terms of the Nishbach case, whether this is something in terms of how much was in it.
We're returning to that, but that's what we're returning to. Okay? So, again, the amount may be of rabbinic origin, right? But the situation is a Torah situation. Okay? So, the Mechaber starts with this dichotomy in the second sieve. In Nisarev min bimino. The nishpach be'inyan she'ein yecholin lamod alav. The Mechaber is very careful with his language here. As a matter of fact, you see in the Beis Yosef, there's a difficult language in the tour, tolin, which he thinks would lead you the wrong way, so he phrases it very precisely. It's impossible to determine the ratio of isur to heter when the mixture took place. Now, how could this be? Let's just spell it out. Well, we might know the amount of isur that fell into the pot. For example, a cup of a particular size full of non-kosher gravy might have been inadvertently mixed with kosher ingredients. We didn't note exactly how full the pot was at that time. If we realized when the pot was still full, we would have noted the full contents of the pot and been able to calculate, lamod alav, been able to calculate the prohibition of heter to iser, right? Okay. When the pot's inadvertently spilled, we can no longer determine what the original ratio was, since the only data point we have for the tarovis was the original volume of the iser. Get me? Why? Okay, so that's how it works. So let's consider two different possibilities. The iser, excuse me, is the same foodstuff as the heter. Namely, it's min bimino. First case. Non-kosher gravy falls into kosher gravy. In such a case, there's no possibility of violating Tam Kikar, since the flavor of the heter is indiscernible from the flavor of the iser, correct? If we know there was rove, then we know that there's no iser mina Torah, since min bimino is batel berov mina Torah. Yes, there's a rabbinical requirement, even in min bimino, for 60 times the volume of the iser in the heter. But this is only midrabbanan, right? Rabbis lo klug, right? If we don't know whether there was shishin, but we do know that there was a rove, then the suffek is only derabbanan, and the tarovis is muteres mitam sveka derabbanan lekula. Once we know that there's a rove, there is no possibility of a Torah violation in min bimino. If the Iser is a different kind of foodstuff than the Heter, namely Min B'Sheino Mino, then there is the possibility of the flavor of the Iser being discernible. And therefore, in that case, if we don't know that there's enough Heter to negate the effects of the prohibited flavor, then the Suffek is a Sveka D'Oraisa, and the Tarovas is a Surah. So said another way, the Shi'ur of Shishi is the rabbinic definition of the marker that indicates whether there is a Torah prohibition. It's the rabbinic definition of how you know whether or not there's a Torah prohibition, right? It can be that the Torah says, give me another example. Torah says anybody who doesn't fast on Yom Kippur, right, is liable for a certain punishment. The rabbis could come along and say, well, if a person comes out smelling a pastrami with mustard around their mouth in between mincha and nila, that's a marker that he didn't fast. It does not mention pastrami in the Torah. It doesn't mention mustard. See what I'm saying? It's just a marker.
So you want to say that if we require robe, that applies that it's a D'oraisa issue? The reverse?
Min b'mino, we require rove only. Because there's no time key card.
Okay. And we know we might have actually rewrite the case because there might be some time of the consult taste.
Right.
Case.
And in which case, I'm going to give you something I worked out on an Excel spreadsheet in a very complex macro.
Okay.
If there's 60 times, then there's at least a rove. And I could prove it. It's tautological. Okay.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If the Iser is 40%, wait, 60 times, right, sorry, it's 1/60th or less, sorry.
Yes, that's obvious.
Then there's clearly a rove, right?
Yes.
Okay, because 1/60th, I can demonstrate, is less than 50%. Or 60 to 1 is greater than 2 to 1, right? Through the application of complex algorithms.
Mathematics, yes.
Okay. Now, some actuary will listen to this and then write me an involved objection. Okay. But. Okay, so I like that language.
So that means according to this, we have an answer. We have an answer for Mechaber's question you brought up last week. Mechaber ends up passing the Chomer Mishbach case. You just say it's a case where it's Min B'Sheino Mino. That's the reason why we're not there.
Yeah. Well, that's what he's saying, right? So this that's pretty understood. If it's Min B'Mino, and I know there was a rove, then it's just a Drabbanan requirement of Shishim, it's like a Drabbanan Lakula. If it's Mim Sheino Mino, and I know there's a rogue, there's still a Torah Inyan of Tom Kikar, and therefore if I'm not sure whether there was Shishim or not, it's Sveka D'Oraisa L'Chumra. With me? Okay, now. This leads us to a problematic comment of the Ramah in Sa'if Beis. Look what he says. Uleinyan min bemino azlinin basar shama.
Oh, yeah.
Imhu shavet. Have min bemino. Avalo azlinin basar tama. Imhu shavet imlo. What? The entire house that we built crumbles in the face of the Ramah's Haggad. What difference should it make whether two foodstuffs have the same name if they have different flavors? Is peanut butter milchik? Is it butter? Because they call it peanut butter? You're invited to a meeting, and your supervisor says, let's get to the meat of this topic. So, oh, I'm sorry, I have to leave, I'm milchik. Right.
Is it possible he's holding like a run when it comes to Bidl?
Well, let's see. Let's first read, let's at least take it in steps. The withering criticism of the Shach states it best. Tamheini al masha kasav harav. Uleinyan min bimino az linan basar shama ule. Didato im hu shave b'shama, they have the same name. Afal gav delo shave b'tama, even though they don't have the same taste. Havale min bimino, v'asur midrabanan. Bim eno shave b'shama. Afal gav de shave b'tama. Havale min shenomino, v'asur minatora. The Shach's astounded by the Ramah from both perspectives. If we designate items with the same name but different flavors, min bimino, then we'll only prohibit the taroves midrabanan. We see what difference it makes. Nishba. When it is us or midyaraisa. If the two foodstuffs have different names but the same flavor, the absence of shishim would shift the status from Durabanan Dioraisa, another error. Because we'd say it makes a difference what the name is. Right? Now, the Taz does not comment on these astonishing words of the Ramah until much later, after the appearance of the Turei Zahav. So here we'll see, you know, I always like to, when we introduce the Svarim, always like to take a minute or two to give you my experience with them and some insights into them. So some background on the Taz and the Shach themselves. The Taz, Manon HaRav David HaLevi Segel, was born at the end of the 16th century in Poland, specifically in Ludmir. The Shach, Maran HaRav Shabsai Cohen, was, I think, about 36 years younger than the Taz. And he was also born in Poland. But their commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, the Shach, the Sifsei Kohen, and the Taz, the Turei Zahav, appeared in the same year. Consequently, although they deal with the same halakhic issues and literature, they don't directly converse with one another. At least not in those works. But wait. The Shach, who was the younger of the two and less established, composed a commentary on the Taz, which if the Taz is Turei Zahav is gold, it was entitled to have the Nekudos HaKesef, right, of the Shach, analyzing where he thinks the Taz erred. And he's very candid in his criticism. That in the Hakdama, so candid, he takes pains to describe the respect he holds for the Taz and recounts how the Taz visited him once for 3 days and all the respect he was shown, great kavod that he gave him, and how I think he says, if I remember correctly, the Taz kissed him on his forehead and, you know, was very pleased, and there was a meeting of the souls. Now, so he wrote the Kudas HaKesef, in which he takes the Taz to task. Taz can't let it go. So he didn't want to write a whole other sefer. After all, this fellow's 36 years younger than he is. So he appended a daf acharon to the sefer Turei HaZahav, like an appendix, which doesn't directly reference the younger Shach, but it's pretty clear to whom he's referring. Okay. Now, this in turn led the Shach to publish the Kuntras Acharon, for it was obvious to the Shach against whose opinions the Daf Acharon was intended. And this is what he writes in the opening of the Kuntres Acharon. He writes, B'daf ha'acharon, who soveiv v'holech, soveiv devarim, he goes around, alei raki yarei lahaskir shemi, he didn't want to mention my name, ach muvan l'chol meivin, shekol ma shekasav b'daf acharon, everything that Taz wrote there, v'chol ma shetarach, lo tarach ela bishvili. So in the Daf Acharon, which you can find in the Friedman edition, right, in the collection in the back, which he calls the Yalkut Mefarshim, we'll find the Taz's response to the Shach. So if you have it, it's on Amud Reish Lamed Dalet, if you have that edition. So Yalkut Mefarshim. You see Reish Lamed Dalet? In the back of Shulchan Aruch, not in the back of the tour. In the back of the Shulchan Aruch. So go back, look for Reish Lamed Dalet. Amud Reish Lamed Dalet. Look up at the top. See it? Yalkut Mefarshim. And if you go in Reish Lamed Dalet to the left column at the bottom, it starts out Ola Inyan Min Bemina Wazlina Basar Shama, and then go to the end, you'll see Hadaf Ha'acharon Lehaturei Zav Zav. See you in the next Amud? See where it's citing it from?
Yeah.
Okay? So this is the little section that we're going to look at. Okay? Hikshu al Ramah. So they asked on the Ramah. Who's he referring to? The Shach. Just Hikshu, they asked, right? Dilama yiye nechshav lemin bemino ubatel barov minatora ha kevan she'ena tam shaveh. Havale no Saint Tom Zebizet. So how could that be, right? How can you call that mean bimino when they have different flavors? Vela kashimidi. It's not at all difficult. Which is, I guess, the implication why he didn't comment on it. Yeah, it's pretty obvious. Dehem Savru Masha Kasav Ramah, those who asked this question, namely the Shach. She'ein tamam shave, that when the Ramah wrote that they don't have the same flavor. Hainu shezem mar v'zem matok. This one was sour or sharp or bitter, and this one was sweet. O kayotze b'zeh. Ta'amim chofchiyim. V'ein ha'meskein. That's not what the Taz was talking about. Ramah was talking about, sorry. Ella De Rava v'Abaye plige b'perek basra davodazara daf samich vav le'inyan inve b'chamra chadita. When you have grapes that mix with new wine. Let's look up that sugya. So this is an astounding idea that you should, in order to understand the poskim, look into the Gemara. It's a revolution. Why didn't I think of that? He's claiming that the Shach read the statement of the Ramah out of its context. And the Ramah is talking about just a very specific Gemara. If he is, at least he's guilty of having quoted something in a way that could be misunderstood. Right? So let's see what he says. Sorry? It's on. Well, first we have to look a little further in the Mishnah. Before we look at the Gemara, let's look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Because this Mishnah is really what they're talking about, even though the Gemara is earlier. they'll give us an important klal that we should know. Now, please don't refer to. I was talking yesterday to Israeli about the way modern. There are certain things that bother me, but I'm getting to be old, so that's why they bother me. When people confuse less and fewer, it grates on my ear. And when people say I'm going to buy something for free, no, I'm going to get it free. I'm not getting it for free, right? But so it also bothers me as Israelis say he yoshenet. That's modern, slang. He yoshena. I'm sorry, I can't. I'm a purist, right? So. Please don't say Yayin Nesach. Yayin Nesach, right? It's an ismach, the wine of libation, right? If you're going to say Yayin Nesach, better just say libation wine, okay? All right. I will bow to Yeshivish and I'll say a Medrash instead of a Midrash, okay? I'll say B'David instead of B'diavad, right? But I can't. But I can't say Yayin Nesach, because it's not an accent. It's a dikduk, right? Okay. All right. Although I will tell you that I was asked one time to call somebody up at a bar mitzvah, and I called them up Yamod Habachur Bar Hamitzvah, which is what you should say. And a rabbi gave me a look, Ma told me, Okay. Anyway, but please say Yayin Nesach. At least with me, say Yayin Nesach. If you go into a bar, don't order Yayin Nesach. Okay. Yes.
This Gemara happens to be punctuated.
Yeah.
And it's actually punctuated as Yayin Nesach.
Well, because
the whole thing is punctuated.
Really? By a person or by the printer?
Looks by the printer.
He probably was agitated by it as well, right?
It's not even two of his.
Yeah, he's probably agitated by it as well. Okay. Now, Yayin Nesach Asur, right, meaning Behanoah, right? The Oser Bekol Shehu. So Yayin Nesach has a shear of Bekol Shehu. Any smallest amount, the minutest concentration of Yayin Nesach in a cocktail is Asur. Yayin B'Yayin, Umayim B'Mayim, where one of them is libation wine or libation water, because nisukim nisukamayim also takes place. Bekol shehu, right? So min b'mino is usher bekol shehu in these cases. Bein b'mayim, bein b'yayim. But yayim b'mayim, umayim b'yayim is b'no sein tam. Zeklal min b'mino b'mashu, shelo b'mino b'no sein tam. Just that's for yayin nesach and things that are b'mashu. Okay. Now we can go to the Gemara, Samech Vav Amud Aleph. Chamra Atika Beinve. If I have old wine mixed with grapes, Divrei Kol V'no Sein Tam. They're not shave b'tam. Chamra chadeta b'inve, but new unfermented wine. Abaye amar b'mashu. V'rava amar b'no sein tam. Abaye amar b'mashu because basar tama azlina. Idi ve'idi, both of these chad tamahu, they both have the same taste, flavor. Dahavale min b'mino. Umin b'mino b'mashu. Rurava amar b'no sein tam. Basar shama azlina. V'hai shama l'chud, v'hai shama l'chud. They have different names. One is called grapes and the other is called wine. Dahavale min b'sheino mino. Same time. Taz cites this Gemara to make the following point, which you can read in the Daf Acharon, which I showed you where it is. Isurim that have a shiur of kol shehu, in such shiurim, the Taz says, we follow Rava and go after them basar shamaz lina, and we follow the name. Even if they have sharply different flavors, if they have different names, we can follow the different flavors of kula. Come along the shop.
Sorry, sorry. Yeah. Gemara said he wants a shabbat minimal. We do follow batar shema when there is a robe.
Yeah. So what? He's just saying one thing. We only follow it.
Yeah.
In isurim that are kol shehu. So the statement's just limited to a very special case. That's what the Taz is doing. He finds the statement in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and he says it only applies there. What's difficult about, what's good about it is, it takes a statement that would sort of contradict everything, and I have to believe that if the, I realize the contradiction, the Rama would realize the contradiction, right? We get it, he certainly got it. So it takes that statement and makes it not a contradiction. The only difficult thing about it is, why quote it that way then? Why quote it there? Okay. But that's what the Taz says in the Daf Acharon. Gee, if you go right after it, what do you find? The Kuntras Acharon. Look on the next page. Rotzel Itaretz. By now, he's dropped any pretense that he's talking about the Taz, the Shach, right? Rotzel Itaretz, Ma Shehik Shesi Sham, the Shach, Sif Kut and Vav. He wants to be mitarates the kasho and the ramah. The kol devarav ein bahem mamash. Well, say what you, what do you think? Say what you really think, right? Mashikasav dani chashavti mashikasav arav ramah. What he wrote that I thought that when the ramah said shein tamam shave hainu shezem mar vezem matok. Okay, anyway, a long comment here, and I think I'm losing my voice, so I don't know that I'm going to go on. I apologize, but I think I'm losing my voice now.
Is
there
a conversation with
Shepherd about? He did. No, I have a cold, actually, so I can't, we are both pretty passionate about the subject, but on exactly the same side. Okay. Which, by the way, is when Rosh Hashanah will argue even more vehemently, because he never insults you if he disagreed with you, right? But when you're both in agreement, then he can argue vehemently because he's such a tzaddik. Okay. Let's just flip back and just because I want to marshal my resources for what I have left. Anyway, take a look at the Kuntras Acharon, where he responds to the let it be no doubt in your mind that generally in Isur V'Heter Basar Tam Azlin. Verse 5. for Min B'Mino. Okay, now. The next sugya that we're going to do, there's one more matter that concerns me here, and that is the inyan of Salek. Cham Miktsaso, Cham Kulo, that comes in the, we're going to repeat in another siman, so we won't do it in Sadi Ches, it repeats in another siman, in greater detail. So we're going to do two things. We're going to do Salek, which is in I think Seif Dalet, hold on. No, it's in we have Min Mino and Sheino Mino. Okay, so we're going to do, that's called Salek, and we'll do that next time, and we'll do as well Se'ivav and Se'iv Tes. I really apologize, but I'm losing my voice. So I'm going to cut it off here. So it's going to be very short session today. Okay? I'll probably send a summary of the...